Okay. Rick got a shadow band.
She got it.
I'm trying to mash a button and the button
there it is mashing. Oh, that's one live. What about the other one? The other
I'm live? Trying to, I'm pressing the live for, okay.
Instagram.
There we go. There we go.
Dan, you can't handle two lives.
Lord have mercy.
I can't even handle my one.
So much pressure.
Right?
So much pressure.
You want to push the next button, dear?
What next button am I hitting?
This one, I'll do it for you.
Hi, I'm Rick.
I'm Dan.
I'm George.
I'm Jake.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
In each episode,
we're going to talk about everything from growing up queer in the South
to the issues affecting our community today.
With a little bit of fabulous sprinkled in along the way.
Join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of queer joy.
Mixed in with the occasional bitch fest.
But always served with the spiciest tea.
Well, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to Paris. Oui, oui.
Hello. Bonjour. Is it me?
Yes. That's about the extent of my French right there.
En français, n'est-ce pas?
Yeah. So, yeah, New Orleans. That's what we're talking about tonight.
Right. The Paris of the Americas.
That's right. And didn't you used to live there, George?
I indeed did. For not long enough.
But not 88 to 99?
It was not 88 to 99. It was more of like a 93 to 95 situation. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Isn't that where you met a certain gentleman caller that was really into your hair? I seem to remember that story. Maybe from season one. I think you told this story.
I think I met him at a bar named Pump Jack. I think
that was not it. That was not it. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's a
dead
lie.
Also spoke French.
Oui, oui, monsieur.
Yeah. Yes, that indeed did happen. I met many a fine gentleman in the Paris of the South. Yes. I did indeed meet a gentleman that enjoyed brushing hair.
Well, you know, to eat their own. I'm not here to yuck anybody's
yum. Honestly, truly, whatever floats your boat. And if you enjoyed having your hair brushed, what a great thing.
It was a Saturday afternoon. What else was I going to do?
There you go.
I could suggest a few things from when you lived there, but okay.
But you weren't there. Also, I would say to anyone, and I would say this to anyone who's ever talks to me about New Orleans, they're like, oh, Mardi Gras, Mardi Gras, Mardi Gras. I'm like, okay, Mardi Gras is great. Everyone should see it one time. But when you go see Mardi Gras, do not think you're going to see New Orleans, because all you're going to see is the event. And you're going to see people, and you're going to see drinking, and you're going to see the spectacle of Mardi Gras, but you are not going to see the city.
No,
and mostly maybe tourists. That's all you're going to see.
Precisely.
I equate it to New Year's Eve in Times Square in New York. Yes, you should do it once. No, I never need to do it ever again. I am so good. That was enough. And yeah.
Exactly.
So a couple of years ago, Rick and I were in New York for Thanksgiving and saw the Macy's Day Parade, which I'd done three or four times before. And it is great, but it's one of those things that, okay, I've done that. You know, you get a spot and you wait for the parade to come along and you hope the fucking parade comes along. It may take a while for the parade to come along. I know. Really? What language is different than when we're recorded?
Well, at least then I can edit it out.
But you've never edited my foul mouth out.
I didn't say I did. I said I could.
There's a difference. True that. True that.
He's taking away the option, sweetie. He wants
the
option.
Okay, sorry. Yes, I guess now that we're live, you can't edit out that fuck it phrase. So,
no,
you know.
I cannot. Stop it.
So, have you both been?
I've not been to Mardi Gras, no.
Rick. Southern decadence.
Oh, see, okay.
So I used to tell a friend of mine who lived in New Orleans, Joe Vizina, I used to say, hey, I'm coming out in a couple of weeks. You know, what's going on? And he's like, Dan, why do you always ask me that? New Orleans has a party every weekend. There's no weekend without a party. And what I've come to say to people is, When New York takes a disco nap, New Orleans is pouring another drink.
You know? I love that. I love that.
Is so, that not true?
I think it's very true. I have to wonder, what's happening in New Orleans this weekend?
Well
I hear there's a literary festival.
Is it the Tennessee Wayne Festival?
It might be.
It's both the Tennessee Williams Festival and the Saints and Sinners, which is the LGBTQ plus literary festival within the Tennessee Williams Festival. And it's all going on in New Orleans this weekend.
I want to say, I think it's insane that we have to say, oh, there's a separate LGBT festival outside the Tennessee Williams literary
right. festival. There should right. be one and the same. I mean, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Well, I do think it's the same. I think that, so this is the 21st annual Saints and Sinners. And I think, you know, 21 years ago, they were saying, hey, look, let's do a special section to promote and highlight rather than say, oh, we have to be separate. And I think it's a great success. It's a lot of fun. I went last year and I'm looking forward to going tomorrow.
I'm very excited to hear reports. I will have to ask you, are you going to participate in the Stella contest?
That was yesterday, but I could, if you guys would like me to yell out Stella, I can do that. Everybody should turn their volume down. But
I think we're good. I think we're good. Yeah.
See,
okay. I heard enough screaming yesterday, so I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, was that my spandex?
No, it wasn't. No, it was the buttons on mine. The buttons were screaming. So we went to a funeral service over the weekend, and it had been a minute since I had put on my little black suit, and that little black suit is really little black suit. The buttons were a little tight. So
well,
you know, it happens.
I don't think there's any place in the world that does funerals like New Orleans.
Oh, well, you're right.
That is
you are very right.
So I think that's one of the things that I love so much is because it really is truly a celebration of life.
Yes.
You take to the streets and you mourn publicly, but you celebrate a life and there's a band that goes along and it is amazing. The only thing that I've seen as similar is seeing an Indian wedding, Indian being the country and not the Native American. They celebrate a wedding the same way that New Orleans celebrates a funeral, all out. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I love that there is that band that will take you from the service to your graveside and accompany you and celebrate you and mourn you all at the same time. All the way from the church to the grave.
We should be so lucky.
Yeah.
We should be so lucky, seriously.
Well, that's what I want. So when the time comes that y'all are going to put me in the ground and I want a celebration. I don't want a somber little party. I want band. I want music. I want the whole thing.
I got you, hon. I got you.
So
cheers.
You know, one thing I'm really looking forward to, though, I think I've talked about this nonstop for weeks now, is the food.
Oh, yeah.
I am super excited about the food because there's just very few places on this planet that are known for so many different things, but food being sort of really high up there on the list
for
New Orleans.
You know, when you asked me to create some socials for this coming episode, I was like, okay, what does New Orleans mean to me? I was looking up, like, you know, and you look up New Orleans and you get pictures of Bourbon Street and you get, like, you know, you get whatever scary. I was like, no, for me, I was like, Galatoires. Nothing says New Orleans to me like Galatoires. I was like, give me that.
So I think that brings up something that's really great is the fact that there are not very many places in this country that you must be dressed up. So tell people what Galatoires is. We've all three been there and it's magnificent, but give a little flavor of what that's like.
So New Orleans, Galatoires is a very old line restaurant in the French Quarter. And for many, many, many years, they did not take reservations at lunch, and lunch was a very popular destination. And the thing to do and the place to be seen was to stand in line for lunch. And that is where you would get all your gossip. It's where you would get all the social news. And it was literally
the tea, honey, the tea.
We'd get all the tea spilt. And they will not let you inside if you are not dressed to their standards. And for gentlemen, that means you need to have a jacket on. And if you don't have a jacket on, well, they will lend you one.
Yes, and it's not only a jacket, but so the three of us have on a collarless shirt, but at Galatoire's, you must have a collar as well. So you have a jacket, but you must have a collar, whether it's a pullover shirt or a button-down shirt, it has to have a collar.
And God help if you show up in flip-flops.
Hell no. Well, anybody that shows up in New Orleans in flip-flops, they get what they deserve, because I'm not stepping on those streets in any fucking flip-flops.
No, ma'am.
I'm sorry. Some bad flip-flops.
I'm gonna show a comment here from Mitzi. Mitzi says she misses the beignets, and I agree. I'm all about that.
You know, when I lived there, to get beignets, the only place that I would ever go was Café du Monde. And I think Café du Monde is, to me, it's the standard of beignet. But New Orleans, beignets have had quite the resurgence.
Yes, they have.
And they're everywhere now. And they're everywhere. It's like, oh, this beignet is better than that. And now people put things in them and they put things on top of them. Bitch, I don't need all that. It needs to be hot. Yes. It needs to be powdered sugar. So much powdered sugar that when you pick it up, it just falls off.
Right. All over your outfit. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So that makes me think of New Orleans is a trendsetter. In the fact that a lot of things were born there. The French 75 was born at Arnaud's, the Zazarac at what's now currently called the Roosevelt Hotel, and chicory coffee. I love chicory coffee. So the French brought chicory to New Orleans, and it has been a staple since then. I mean, when you get a cup of coffee in New Orleans, you get a cup of coffee that excites you. It's not one of those things that...
It's a wake you up. It is. I remember when the last time we were there, I think I single-handedly changed the name from Bourbon Street to Tequila Street. And the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh God. And we went to, what's the name of the restaurant?
We went to Mother's.
And that coffee, I was like, I need a cup of coffee. You might as well just leave the pot. And I took one sip of that coffee and all was right with the world. Yeah. So
chicory, so you get chicory coffee. You can get it, especially at Café du Monde. They have several that you can also get online, but it is so good. I like chicory coffee. It's really quite lovely. It's nutty. You know, I might like a little nutty.
It's a family show, girl.
I might like a little nutty.
Do you remember the dinner that we went to? I don't know where this place was, but we were like, we had told the driver, was like, we're looking for something good and local and, you know, just not like a typical restaurant. And he was like, all right, I got you. And he took us out of New Orleans. Kept driving. It's like, this man is going to kill us. He's taking us to the bayou, and he's going to kill us.
This is Marie Laveau's cousin. Right.
And he ended up taking us to this place. It was it was a house, and the bottom floor of the house had been turned into a restaurant. And we go into this place, and it was, I think I had a pork chop or something. It was the food. God, the food was so amazing. So that is one thing I'll say it again. I'm really looking forward to the food.
Do you remember this dinner, Dan?
I do remember the dinner. What I don't remember is exactly where we were. We were probably 20 minutes outside of the quarter.
Yeah, it's crazy. And
what I'm thinking about is the Bywater, but that's not right because the Bywater is down by the river just next to the French Quarter. So I know
we're on the other side of the Marigny.
On the other side of the Marigny. So we were a little bit out. I feel like we were out by one of the, what is the thing that the Corps of Engineers builds? What is those things that keeps, I think we were by a far levee somewhere. I just don't remember what the name of the place was. It was really good, and it was really an off the beaten path place. However, I don't know what it is now, but I did see that it's a really popular place for people to go to. So,
yeah, honey, they drove you all the way out to Algiers.
They might, honestly, George, they might have. It was a ways out.
It was a ways out, and it was
Rick's not wrong when he's like, "Oh Lord, where are we? Where are we going? Where are we going?"
I mean, we're sitting in the back of that Uber, like, should we be like jumping out right now?
Well, so, I know
it turned out to be amazing.
All three of us have read a whole lot of mysteries and suspense and thrillers. I'm like, I really don't know where I am. And all I keep thinking is, I'm chunky. They will probably like to put me on the spit and roast me. No, let me out. I got good teeth. Let me out.
Good teeth. you just talked about
Mickey with the good teeth. Yeah, exactly.
You talked about mysteries and crime novels. I mean, I think that brings up like the literary history of New Orleans, because obviously you're going to this literary festival. I mean, it is such a city that obviously writers want to write about New Orleans, because it's a rich place to write about. It's so much atmosphere, and everyone wants atmosphere. But let's talk a little bit about that, like the literary works that we have all enjoyed or still enjoy from New Orleans.
So I'll start with, obviously there's Anne Rice, but I was actually going to start with my very first screenplay was centered in New Orleans. And it was focused around witches and a family, a very long lineage of witches, inspired by Anne Rice and the Mayfair witches.
Well, this already exists. Anne Rice wrote that book.
Anne Rice did it better. But obviously there's Anne Rice, and it actually was making me think, aren't they filming Interview with the Vampire season 2 now? But I think they're in Dubai or somewhere, right? Now. I don't think they're in New Orleans anymore.
Dubai? Where
they would be in the story after the last episode.
Right.
After the last season ends, this is when they go on that tour, Lestat. I mean, Louis and Claudia go on the tour of the world trying to find other vampires. So yes, they would have.
I think it's a throwback to Paris. Dubai. And then I think it was modern day is in Dubai. I think it was
Dubai. All right.
But then it's, I think the, I again, just saw the trailer this morning. So, but I think the, it's focused around their time in Paris.
Paris makes sense because that's where they meet the theater vampires and Armand.
And Louis. Armand. Thank you.
Lovely. I do think I remember seeing a couple of Tennessee Williams plays outside of like TV and movies and stuff. And I remember seeing one in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I don't remember which play this is. I was thinking about asking somebody when I was in New Orleans. The landlady pours boiling water down between the floorboards.
Yes. And that's Streetcar Girl.
Is that a streetcar?
Streetcar.
Stella! Oh, I didn't think it was street. All right. So,
when Stella goes upstairs to the neighbor that's upstairs, then that's the neighbor that pours the hot water down to them because they're playing poker and they're so loud. She pours it through the floorboards.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So I guess that was the first time I saw a streetcar in person. I remember that from North Carolina. And I mean, Tennessee Williams he had a Southern voice like Faulkner did and Eudora Welty. These were authors who heard the voice and they knew the voice and they could replicate it on a page. And that's one of the things that I love about it. I think New Orleans has that type of almost a voodoo trance of here's the voice and you as an author, you must know this voice. And the good authors get that voice. The bad ones, it's like, oh Lord, I can't read this.
You know, it's funny you say that, Dan, because Eudora Welty, I recently bought a big book of her short stories and I was reading them. And I also recently bought another Answered Prayers by Truman Capote, because of course it's on TV. And I was like, oh, what's the book? Let me read it. Of course it's unfinished. But what I noticed about both of them is they have liberal use of the N-word in their books. Both of them. Like, all right.
They do.
But you know what? Who doesn't? Tennessee Williams doesn't. And I feel like he was a contemporary, the same kind of time period.
Yes, yes, and you're right about that, George.
You chose, and I don't know this, this is speculation on my part, but I feel like Tennessee Williams set himself apart because he was part of the other. I'm part of this other. I'm queer. Yeah. Part of
yeah, the right, other. Right, 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 right.
So why would I make this dig at people that are also part of the other?
Oh, I love that analogy, George. I really do. And I think you're right about that. I think there are authors who really realize that they have a responsibility and they look at themselves and say, I know what I've seen dumped on me and I don't want to dump it on others. And I love that.
And I don't think by him not using that, that takes anything away from his Southern voice.
No, I totally agree. I think perhaps it adds to it.
Well, because it's like when people write and they just want to curse. They just want to use expletives. It's like, okay, that takes no imagination. Right. Say it in a way that's going to make me see it.
Oh, so you're talking about my earlier expletives?
I was just about to say. But yeah, I am a fan of a peppering in the F word from time to time. I do it quite often in my daytime speak. So I'm a big fan of the F word. She also is very loud when I'm slamming the door in my office.
She also spends a lot of time in HR.
Well, this is true. I have gotten called to the carpet a few times. You need to watch what you're saying and how loud you say it. And I'm like, well, then you need to tell the people that are making me say it to stop making me say it.
I told you, give me a private office.
So I know this woman that owns a bookstore. And one of the things she said, So we were chatting about something and I had used a very adult word and I apologized. And she said to me, you know, some people have salty language. And I loved that term, salty language, because it just evokes something from long, long ago. And I thought, oh, well, okay. And I occasionally try to monitor what I say, not always, obviously.
Oh, sure, Jan, sure.
Look, Marcia, you make me want to throw a football at your head.
So going back to the authors.
Yes, back to that.
Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. I've got another comment here. The F word works as a verb, a noun, an adjective. It covers everything. I totally agree.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Mitzi. I agree. I'm going to be right back. Keep talking.
Oh, Lord.
While he's gone, I'll ask you this, Rick, because you seem to know. So are we getting a second season of Witching Hour?
I actually don't know for sure. There was a lot of conversation, but I never saw a confirmation that's happening. But you know what? I'd be fine if it doesn't, because I really didn't like, but not Witching Hour. It's Mayfair Witches.
Well, we both know what that
but
means.
It's the Witching Hour series. I get it. But I would not mind. You know, I'm not a fan of that Data Rio person, that actress.
That person.
Yeah. So.
She was not your idea of Rowan.
No, not by a long shot. That is not my Rowan. Not by a million miles.
You know, I agree. It was a grave disappointment after what they did with the interview.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because I could not, Mayfair could not have come soon enough for me. I was so excited for it. And then I saw who was playing Rowan, and I was like, ugh. And I know everybody loved her from White Lotus, and I was like, she just irritated me, and she's irritated me in every single thing that she does. So
I don't honestly remember that she was in White Lotus, but what I do remember is Beth
season Grant. One.
What I do remember is Beth Grant was in Mayfair Witches.
Oh, and that's yes,
for everything.
And Jen Richards, who is trans, and I absolutely love her. I thought she was great. She played the young
Cortland.
Yes.
Cortland Mayfair.
Cortland's daughter or sister? I think it was sister.
Maybe it's sister.
But I'm talking about Tales of the City. She plays the young Olympia Dukakis in Tales of the City as well. So, but I was going to say, as far as authors go, I don't know that this is New Orleans, but I was kind of thinking about, obviously, True Blood and Bon Temps, which is right around the corner. So. And also Steel Magnolias.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I did not care. this is just George having an opinion now. I did not care for the Charlene Harris books. They didn't do it. I think I've said this several times on this podcast. Did not care for the books. Loved the actual series.
I will say I love the series more than the books. I feel like the series really... Well, I'm not gonna go there because Charlene Harris was very, very nice to me and San Diego last summer, and I'm just gonna leave it at that.
I will say this. I did start reading the books after the series started. So like I already had an opinion. Had I not had an opinion, just
same. Like, yeah.
Well, and I also think that the greatest thing about movies and TV is that there's a visual attached to it.
Yeah.
And if it's done well, we get attached to the visual, I think, so often. And then you go back and you read something, and maybe that reading doesn't give you the visual you wanted it to. And I do think that there are a lot of movies and TV shows that are made that are really fantastic. They just simply take off from where the book was, and then make us see things that maybe the book didn't make us see.
Well, I think my biggest thing with her in that book, the first book, spoiler alert, everybody. He kills off Lafayette in like the first 30 pages. Like,
yes, he's gone. And like, no, like, oh my God. Like, Lafayette is like the number one character for me in that show until he meets, was it Jesus in season two? So, was two or three the season of the witch? I can't remember. I think it was two.
Yeah, because the second one was about the main ad.
So it was three. Three was Season of the Witch. All right. Yeah. That's what I call it. I don't think that's what it's officially called, but it was the witchcraft season.
So I think we should talk about that damn bird from like four seasons ago. What's that damn bird on The Good Witch?
The Good Witch.
Yeah, right. I can, yeah.
Now, while you were in Canada, Rick, you could have gone and seen that entire village. You could have
I don't think they're in Vancouver, though. I think they're in Toronto.
Aren't they all right beside each other?
No, it's on the other side of the world. Well, the other side of the Canada, but anyway, same thing. Dan, you want to read Wally's comment? Because it's about you.
Oh, let's see. Y'all should have had...
Stop cursing. That's what he's saying. Stop cursing.
Right. Wally says y'all should have had Jane Halloran on to tell her Tennessee story. I think she was cast in one of his shows. What I remember most is he didn't like her. Danny knows her. I do know her, and Jane doesn't like him either. So I remember talking to Jane about Tennessee, and she's like, oh, I know him. I rode down in the elevator with him, among other things. And she's like, I have no time for Tennessee Williams. However, Wally and I know Jane, and we also know that Jane has an issue with strong men like Tennessee Williams, among others. And it happens, you know. Tennessee was like Truman. He had a big resurgence in the 60s, you know. They wanted them to talk about all Southern things. So,
I don't know if just because you rode an elevator with them means you know them. Just saying.
Right. Well, I do think Wally's right. I do think Jane was cast in something, and she did. Well,
I'm going to argue with you for a second. I'm going to argue with you for a second because I can tell a lot about a person riding an elevator with them in that short little time span.
Especially when Rick lets one rip and everybody in the elevator starts gagging.
I had never done that in my life. And you can't prove it.
Saturday, hon. Saturday. You know,
Wally's adding on saying, Jane doesn't believe that a good story should be encumbered by the truth. And that sounds very much like a Truman Capote statement as well. Yes.
And Wally's 100% right. We both know Jane and might have... like or love Jane. Wally can tell us which one it is. But Jane has an ability to manufacture a story to fit her narrative better than anyone I know. And I, you know, it's my hat's off to you, Jane. I know she's not watching this, so it doesn't really matter.
I will say that makes me think of, and I will quote again from the many, many words of wisdom from Blanche Devereaux.
Yes.
Tall tales and tall drinks are the house specialty of the South.
Yes.
I need a t-shirt that says that. I need it. I need it by morning. So
I think they have one. So George, you lived in New Orleans. Did you have a favorite place to eat?
Well, when I lived
So let's say an everyday place, and Galatoire's is a
destination place.
It's a destination place. So did you have an everyday place?
Well, I certainly never ate in Galatoire's when I lived there, because I didn't have the kind of money that you need to eat at Galatoire's when I lived in New Orleans.
Yes, honey. I didn't go to the Fountain Blue in Miami when I lived there because I couldn't afford it.
Exactly. I was on a very, very tight budget when I actually lived in New Orleans. There are places that, and this is the great thing about New Orleans, it is very hard to have that meal. It is very hard. Like, even places that are hole in the walls, they know what they're doing.
I really agree.
So there was a place on Decatur that's no longer there. They were called Fiorella's. And they had been there forever, and they wore the holiest hole in the wall. But honey, what they could do with fried chicken and fried shrimp, like just, there was some places.
Love a good dive. I love a good dive.
Oh, and I was always a fan, and many people aren't, but I love this because they were 24 hours. I always liked the Clover Grill.
I bet you did, honey. The Clover Grill is something else.
I know you've talked about them a lot, actually, in the past.
Well, you guys should go, because I feel like they're still open. You should go.
Oh, they were open there the last time I was there, honey. I think the Clover Grill is sort of like McDonald's and Dollar General. You cannot get rid of them. I mean, honestly.
I thought you were going to compare them to like the experience, but all right.
No. So
George, this is for you, darling.
every day honey.
So I agree with George about that. So Rick mentioned earlier Mother's on Poydras is my favorite breakfast
I dream about that place.
I love Mother's on Poydras. I mean, so many people who are New Orleans natives are like, oh my God, it's such a tourist trap. I don't care. What they bring to my table makes me happy. Mm-hmm. They have something called a maize omelet. So they roast a ham, and they shave off the sides with the brown sugar coating. And then they make an omelet with it, and they serve it with some grits and a biscuit, honey. I mean, that biscuit is beyond
magnificent. That biscuit is the size of a cake. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I love Mother's. I will always go to Mother's. And a unique thing about New Orleans, and I think it's in some cities, so you get coffee black or with cream. And cream means you're going to get a tan coffee. There's not a little bit. It's going to be tan or brown, whichever one you choose.
It's not creamer. It's like it is scalded milk. You're getting half milk and half coffee. You're getting cafe au lait.
Yes. And it's going to be really, really tan.
Yes.
But it's delicious. I like it. So
I did think of a restaurant that I used to really like to go to, mainly because of the experience. And I went many, many times because also 24 hours. And I'm a big fan of a 24-hour restaurant, apparently, because I used to be young and have a lot more late nights.
And we don't have any of those in LA, do we? That I'm aware
not
of.
Many, not
Other
many.
Other than maybe like a Taco Bell or some shit.
Yeah, like the Pantry's not 24 hours anymore. Cantor's isn't 24 hours anymore.
I haven't been to Cantor's in forever. Do you remember when they used to have the nightclub in the back? George, do you remember the nightclub in the back at Cantor's?
I wouldn't call it
a nightclub. It was like they cleared out the tables from the back dining room and turned it and threw in a DJ, and that's where you go to party at like 4 a.m.
Well, they still have their bar, you know, the Kibitz Room. That's still there for sure. But
that's the Kibitz Room Rick's talking about, yes.
No, it's not. I know the Kibitz Room. It's not the Kibitz Room. No, they would clear out a dining hall and bring in a DJ, and they would it would be an after-hours joint.
So tell me if you remember this, Rick. This is completely off the subject of New Orleans, but here we are anyway. Here we go.
Sorry. And detour over.
Come on.
There was a point in the 90s, in like the late 90s, where there was that stupid bar club. I mean, that great bar and club called the Chit Chat Room. And I don't remember where it was, but their big thing, and this was obviously before cell phones, was every table had this big sign with a number on it, and every table had a phone on it. So you could be like, oh, he's cute, let me call him. And Cantor's copied that for a while, and they did it.
I don't remember it, but I love it. Wow. I think we should do it. We should do it. We should absolutely do it. Who's in?
Yeah, chit chat.
Yeah. Which
Oh, yes.
Cynthia yes, saying, yeah. Isn't Norm still 24 hours? Is it? Yeah, it is.
So, but I do think that's a unique thing, though, because I think life changes, right? So there are not so many 24-hour joints.
No.
Thank God Uber Eats is nearly 24 hours.
Well, girl, I barely make it past 9 p.m. most nights now, so it wouldn't matter anyway.
Yeah. Like, right. She's looking at the clock already, like 7:30.
Right.
It's 7:35. I gotta be like flossing my teeth and crap. Shit.
I ate his dinner last night that he passed out and left at the front door. It was good. Thank you, hon.
I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't me. Must have been your neighbor.
So I will go back to my original 24-hour restaurant that I loved. It was such a dive. So yeah. It was up on St. Charles, but not like nice St. Charles, like before you get to nice St. Charles, you get on the streetcar and you go up St. Charles. And it was this restaurant called the Hummingbird Cafe, and it was attached to the Hummingbird Hotel.
Oh, I'm in.
Which was, you know, the Cecil Hotel downtown Los Angeles? It was like that.
Okay, yeah, okay. It happens.
By the hour, got it.
And it was a 24-hour restaurant, and it was a rite of passage, because you would meet these kids in New Orleans and be like, oh, you got to go to the Hummingbird, and we'd go, and you'd sit there, and they would put something on your table that might resemble pancakes. Maybe it was a biscuit, maybe it was bacon.
And again, at this time, you're young enough that your stomach can handle it, you know, and as one, you know, passes beyond those young years, I have a very delicate palate now.
Well, also, you were so pumped full of alcohol that no matter what you ate was going to be sanitary.
Well, that part ain't changed.
Right. Well, that's true. So, George, what was that place that you sent me to? Is it called the Magnolia
Bed
Cafe?
Bed. Bed. We send you to bed quite often, darling.
Shush up, man. What was it?
Not listening. The Camellia Grill.
The Camellia Grill. I will tell you that George said, you have to go here. Last year when I was in New Orleans, I went there. It was good. The food was good. I really wish someone would pressure clean it. I mean, I might help them.
That's part of the ambiance. The smell is everything.
Yeah, okay, whatever. The crust was lovely on the whatever I ate, but you know.
You write your order in the grease on the wall.
Now she's got an opinion. She didn't say any of this after she goes. She's like, oh, it was so amazing. Thanks so much. It was so historic. Now I know what historic means to you, Dan.
Well,
what about...
It was good. I will say that I kept thinking, wow, okay, really?
Well,
you didn't clean that and you didn't clean that, but it's okay. I mean, honestly, you know, I just figure it's like, let's eat it and see what happens. I could be at my goal weight any minute now. Hello, I could be much thinner. Come on, bring it on.
Travel south of the border and drink out of a water hose. You'll lose all the weight you need.
I'll be right back, y'all. I'm going south of the border.
Dan, I can't believe you're not going to talk about Commander's Palace.
So I will say this, that Rick and I went to a graveyard visit a few years ago.
Oh.
And we came out of the graveyard and I turned left because God said turn left. And about three or four blocks down, I saw this awning and I said to Rick, we're going down there because I know this awning, this blue and white awning is Commander's Palace. I'm sure of it. So we go down there, and I was so excited. And both Rick and I were in shorts. It was in August. It was hot as hell. I didn't say hot as fuck. I said it was hot as hell.
Well, thanks for not saying hot as fuck.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome, man. So I said to Rick, standing out here on the corner, honey, you're sweating like a pig. I'm going to go in. So I go in and there was a woman at the help desk or whatever at the front desk.
The help desk.
What do you
help
call desk. It? The hostess stand. Desk. That's what the hostess.
The help desk. Lord have mercy.
So she was at the hostess stand and I said, you know I'm in shorts and a shirt, but I have always wanted to come here. Do you have a bar? And she said, sugar, this is New Orleans. Of course we got a bar. Where do you think you are? And I said, well, can my friend who's outside loitering on the sidewalk and I come in? And she said, of course you can.
But so, you're going to the patio.
Well, before that, though, so we go in and we get to the bar. And the bar is standing only. There's no stools. Everybody's standing.
And she mind you, this is like 11 o'clock in the morning. 11 a.m. And there's no seats.
So there's no seats at the bar. There's stand-up bar. So she takes her arm
there's
and
no room at the bar is what I'm saying. It was full.
Uh-huh.
But go ahead, Dan. Full. You tell your story.
She takes her arm and she pushes the people over lovingly and gently, but firmly. And she says, y'all need to get acquainted because we got some other people here.
Oh, get acquainted, honey. Yes.
And so she said, y'all come in here and have a drink. And so Rick and I ordered a couple of drinks, a drink, and we went out on the patio because everybody there was dressed up, you know, Sunday hats, Sunday suits, and everything. We went out on the
patio. Dan was wearing flip-flops.
Never, honey. Not New Orleans, honey, sugar. I told this story earlier. I ain't wearing no damn flip-flops in New Orleans. So, but we had a drink, and we had a refill, and it was so nice because it was like, oh, my gosh. So I have recently learned that Commander's Palace has 25 cents martinis for Sunday brunch. See?
Okay.
What had happened was...
Well, I might be changing my flight back from Sunday.
See? And if you come home early, I'll just go without you. I don't care about you.
25 cent martinis.
Yep. 25 cents martinis. That's crazy.
Will they honor that on Saturday, do you think?
I think we should go and ask because...
they were quite lovely to us the last time. Maybe they'll do it again.
A great thing about Commander's Palace is it's family owned. And so everything they do is they realize that they have to be their best to keep people coming back. And I love that about Commander's Palace. It is amazing. And so during COVID, they had a little area where you get your food and go away. So they've turned that now into an upscale beignet bar.
See, very popular now.
Yes.
It's the beignet with all the extra toppings.
Probably. You know what? I'm going to take a picture when we go there and I'm going to send it to you, George. And you can say yay or nay. How's that?
That's yay perfect. Or nay on the beignet. Yay or beignet?
I do.
Yay or beignet?
I want to ask a question. So the area that was takeout during COVID and then became the beignet bar. Was that the same area that was the help desk before?
To the right of the help desk. Okay, really, George? You tried to make me say words I shouldn't say because Rick can't edit them out. Gosh darn it, you, George. Gosh darn it.
That's precious.
Y'all going to make me go get another drink before we're finished.
Well, yeah. I do want to ask one question because I know we're coming up on 45 minutes before we wrap up.
Oh, Jesus Christ Almighty, Riley.
This is a question for the two of you. What are you most looking forward to about Saints and Sinners? What's the thing?
Getting laid? Sorry.
Saints and Sinners, darling.
You know, the greatest, I think a nice...
Well, you have panels. You're doing some panels, aren't you?
I'm doing one panel, yes. I'm talking to the publishers. I think a great thing about Saints and Sinners is it is an LGBTQIA+ festival, which there are not so many of those. And it's nice to be among people that you know. Most of the people are really quite loving and friendly and kind. And they're there because they're queer and they want to participate, which is always a lovely thing.
And I think that I feel the same way. I think what I'm most looking forward to is connecting with these people that are from not just the queer community, but also the literary community. So it's like two of my worlds that are sort of coming together in a very special way. And I'm really excited for that. And I'm kind of excited for the potential that's going to come out of that, if it makes sense. Because I feel like there's a lot of
the food.
Well, and the food, for sure, the food. And then here's a comment from Cynthia about upscale beignets. She thinks it sounds amazing. Ah, with a period.
Well, you know, Cynthia always wants all that good stuff on the top of it. Come on, Sin.
Well, I mean, who doesn't? Come on. More put all the good stuff on top of me, honey. I'm good with that.
More is more, honey.
So don't push, don't shove. There's room for all inside of Rick.
Now see.
Okay, it's a family show.
It was until now.
All right. Well, we should wrap this little shindig up because 3 a.m. is coming damn early. Can I just say that? Because somebody had to book a fucking 7 a.m. Sorry. Somebody had to book somebody had to book a 7 a.m. flight.
Rick, I'm going to send you to the help desk.
Not the help desk. Not the help desk.
Right at Commander's Palace, huh? You know what? Rick and I will be at the airport tomorrow looking for the help desk. Could you refill this, please? Please, please. Could you help a damsel in distress, please? That's right. I'll take a double. Thank you.
25-cent martinis.
And LAX would be like $25 martinis and be thankful.
Uh-huh. Be thankful we decided you could have one. So
true that.
All right. So look for our post over the weekend from Saints and Sinners. That said, thank you all. And as Cynthia says, we always love the good stuff. So
absolutely.
Totally agree. Bye, y'all. See you soon.
Bye, y'all.